Well, good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to be preaching out of Hebrews in chapter 2, but I do need to make a clarification on the announcements, just so that there's not any confusion as to who is revealing his or her gender today. It is Josh and Gabby's first child, that, just so that you know. Today's day is so confused. You got to make things clear. Hebrews in chapter 2. Follow along while I read the first few verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And let's bow and ask God to bless our time. Lord, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word today. Lord, I ask for any soul in this room that's not saved, Lord, that you would open their eyes, that you would show them the truth, that you would convince them, Lord, that you would move upon their heart. Lord, we don't have the power of persuasion to do what needs to be done. We need you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just intervene today. And Lord, I pray that you would also bless this message to the hearts of everyone that's here today. Meet their needs, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, we need your word more than we need our daily food. We ask that you bless it today in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to preach about today is I want to preach about the great salvation. In this passage right here in verse 3, he describes neglecting a great salvation, not just a salvation, but a great salvation. He puts an adjective in front of it. He clarifies that this is something that you need to pay attention to. In fact, this subject is probably the most important subject that you could ever consider in your lifetime. This is more important than career. This is more important than who you're going to marry. This is more important than any other decision that you could make in life. And there are many different reasons for it. We're going to take about 6 reasons, and we're going to show you today why you ought to consider this great salvation. This is, of course, talking about the salvation that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a lot of different definitions about what salvation is, a lot of different ideas about what being saved is, and I want to try to clarify some of those today. In this passage, it starts out by saying, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time that we should let them slip. And so what he's trying to compel you, and I know you've got a lot on your mind, there's a lot of things in life that command your decision and, that command your attention, but please give some attention to what he's talking about right here. This is important for your soul because there's no more important question to answer in your life than the salvation of your soul. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. We don't have time to go all the way back to Hebrews in chapter 1. I would highly encourage you to go back later on and read Hebrews chapter 1. It's talking about God speaking to us through his son and what he did through his son and how he provided salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing how prone we are to neglect, how prone we are to not taking heed to the things which are important. You know, there are a lot of things in life that you can ignore, and the consequences for those things may be more or less. But I'm telling you right now, if you see this, if you see what God is trying to tell you, then you're going to understand that this is not a subject that you can afford to ignore.
Amen.
He's imploring you. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And what he's talking about specifically is the message. Salvation. You know, you hear Christians all the time talk about being saved. And maybe a Christian has asked you at some point in time, are you saved? And what are you thinking in your mind? I've asked the question many times. Sometimes people give me an answer and they say yes. And I say, okay, explain what you mean by that. And maybe they'll go back and they'll refer to the fact that when they were a baby, they were baptized into a church. I'm telling you, a baby cannot be saved in the sense that the Bible talks about it, because being saved is a decision that you make for Jesus Christ. It is not something that that passively happens to you. Some people, they talk about salvation and they might think about getting, escaping a terrible car wreck or something else. You know, maybe they had a car wreck and they were trapped in a car and a fireman came and saved them out of a burning vehicle or something like that. And so maybe they're thinking in their mind. But I'm telling you, and I'm not going to discount that. You're in a burning vehicle and somebody comes in and pulls you out and saves your life. That's huge. That's a big deal. You've got a chance now to go on living because somebody else risked their life in order to save your life. But we're not talking about just the salvation of a physical life. This goes so far beyond just the salvation of a physical life. Because the truth is, save you from a car wreck, you die a few years later from a heart attack or something. You know, it's just, you're going to die anyway. By the way, if you didn't know that, I'll repeat that. You're going to die anyway. Man, don't be so dark, you know. Don't be so macabre. Why are you thinking about that? Because it's true.
Amen.
Somebody said one time that a man that's not willing to look at his mortality is not yet ready to live, you know? I think there's probably some truth to that. You're going to die. Salvation is not talking about just the saving of your physical life.
Amen.
We're talking about something that goes beyond your body. The salvation of your soul. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This is an incredible question that we need to ask ourselves. First of all, I want to look at a few verses because I want to back it up. Because I'll tell you what some people's accusation of Christians are, is that we have invented saved as kind of a buzzword, you know. It's kind of our lingo. In fact, there's a movement out that tries to get rid of some of these words, you know, that, hey man, we really don't need to be, we need to update our language and use different words. But I want you to know that being saved is a really good word. I'm going to show you why. Look at Acts in chapter 16 in verse 31. Acts 16, 31. Got about three or four. We'll go through these relatively quickly. This is a situation where Paul and Silas, very incredible story. I'm telling you, this is better than Reader's Digest. We got some amazing stories in the scriptures. This guy, Paul and Silas, they had gotten beaten. They got thrown into prison. They were down in a dungeon. At midnight, they were singing praise to God. We ought to take some example from that. Midnight after being beaten, down there in the bottom of the dungeon, down there where the mud and the filth is, they were singing praises to God. There was an earthquake, and all the doors of the prison opened, and the jailer was going to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had fled. Under Roman law, if you let a prisoner escape, your life would be for his. And so he thought, might as well do it myself because they're going to execute me. But then after that, Paul cried out and he said, hey, he said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. He came down, and this is where we pick up the story in verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Wow, how the tables have turned. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He's not talking about his body. He was perfectly healthy. He had been, he's not going to be executed. All the prisoners were there. That's not the salvation he was talking about. He was talking about something else. And in verse 31, here's the beautiful, simple answer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Do you know that the salvation of the soul comes through Jesus Christ? Do you understand that you can't save your own soul? Somebody else had, just like you're in a burning car. You're not going to save yourself if you're trapped in a car and you can't get out. You need somebody else to come in, and that's where Jesus Christ comes in. We've got another verse. Look in the book of Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. And start reading in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see a pattern here? We're talking about the Lord Jesus being associated with salvation, being the object of salvation, and the definitive nature of these statements right here. It's not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when you die and you float up to heaven and you stand before the gate and St. Peter asks you some questions, you know, maybe you'll get in, maybe if you're good enough. I'm telling you, there are major worldwide religions that are teaching that you can never know that you're saved from your sins until you actually die and stand before God. Amen. That's not what the scriptures are telling us. Amen. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you're possibly going to be saved later on. Thou shalt be saved. What does Romans tell us right here? If you believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and God hath raised him, thou shalt be saved. Let's look at another verse. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And in this passage right here, he talks about the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? The gospel means good news. Now, if good news is that I've got to try to be good enough to merit God's favor, I don't know about you, but I'm sunk already. I got no hope. On the days when I can kind of keep the exterior going really good and looking good, and, well, not necessarily looking good, but being holy in that sense, you know, that the inside is still so corrupt. Those of you that have kind of a self-righteous attitude and you think that you're a good person, you haven't investigated your own thoughts well enough. You are evil and wicked to the core. You are selfish. You are self-centered. You're narcissistic. I mean, you've got all kinds of issues and problems. If we had to save ourselves, we could not do it.
Amen.
You can't make a resolution to last more than 10 minutes, and how are you going to be holy enough to stand before a righteous God? To stand before someone who knows the thoughts and intents of your heart, to someone whose eyes burn as a flame of fire, and they know not only what you did, but why you did it. How are you going to justify yourself? What kind of an explanation are you going to give? You're going to be guilty before God. But He's agreed to save you. God is so oppressive because, you know, He's just down on us all the time. I don't understand how people can get that impression. God looked at our condition. He understood. God wasn't the one who told Eve to be deceived by Satan. Eve chose to do that. Adam chose to follow his wife. The human race chose to be condemned. I mean, I'm telling you, we need a Savior. And God has agreed to be our Savior. That's good news. Why do you think He's selling us in Hebrews? He's saying, you know, we ought to get the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So if we neglect this great salvation, do you understand? He's trying to get your attention and focus on this issue right here. The salvation of the soul. Look at Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 5. Actually, man, that's such a good passage. We got to back up. You guys got time for the context? Yes, thank you. Look at verse 1. Yeah, we got time. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's verse 1. That's our past. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Does it offend you that he's lumping you in with all of humanity? He is. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That means being made alive. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can we get any clearer than that? Can we see exactly how God sees things? That's what God is trying to do, to get you to see how He looks at things. And the way that He sees things, He sees a fallen humanity. He sees a humanity that is dead in trespasses and sins. And then God intervened. God did something about it. The Bible says that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ came to be our substitute. Because of our sin, we were condemned to the death, not only a physical death, but an eternal death. Salvation is not being saved from a car wreck. Salvation is not being given a new chance in life. Salvation is being permanently and totally delivered from the power and the presence and the penalty of sin forever. Never again to be condemned and separated from God. He's trying to get your attention on something that is incredible. This is a great salvation. This is an incredible thing to think about. It ought to grab your attention. You ought to be thinking about this. And especially if you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die, you need to investigate. You need to read these verses. You need to find out what God says, because God is offering you something so incredible, so amazing. What mystifies me is how humanity can treat it with such neglect. Such incredible neglect. You know, Red McCombs wants to sell a Ford. He'll put somebody out there with some free hot dogs. Isn't it amazing how people line up for hot dogs? It's important. I'll line up for a hot dog. Some of you know that I have a propensity for hot dogs. I've changed allegiances. I used to be a Valero hot dog man. QT has come to town. I'm a QT hot dog. Anyway, we're digressing. You see how easily we get distracted? How is it that we can give such full attention to things that in the end don't really make any difference? We get so distracted. Man, I don't have time to think about God right now because I got this CPS bill. I got to try to figure out how to... Really? Getting your electricity shut off is more important than the salvation of your soul? We can let anything... Hey, man, come on to church. Oh, no, you see, you know, Sundays is my only day to rest. Well, yeah, same for a lot of us, you know. But, hey, I'm talking about the salvation of the soul. I'm talking about a promise from the Creator of the universe that He is going to save you if you call upon His name. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. So it's amazing because of the meaning of the word salvation. Salvation forever with God for eternity. But not only that, but because it's a great salvation because of the incredible work that was required to obtain it. I want you to consider something. Look at Acts chapter 4 in verse 12. Acts chapter 4 in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Does that offend you? It means that Mary, who bore the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not have the power, if she wanted it, she does not have the power to save you. Right. We used to do novenas when I was young, and we used to pray to different saints, and I had my own patron saint. I chose Bartholomew because I thought that was a cool name, because I could say Saint Bart, you know. Bartholomew was probably a pretty cool guy. You know, hey, he walked with the Lord, but he can't save me. Neither is there salvation in any other. Do you understand that one thing that's offensive is that Jesus Christ is exclusive in this offer? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He is excluding all others. Does that offend you? Man, I think it may offend you, but listen, this is the way that it is. The Savior sets the terms of the salvation. Do you know that? The Savior is the one in control. We're the ones that are helpless. We're the ones that are needing saved. He's the one that... How is it that we can possibly demand of God how the conditions of our deliverance are going to be? You get an army that goes in and they win a war. Do you think that they're going to let the ones who've been defeated dictate the terms? No, the victor is going to dictate the terms. Do you know who the victor is here? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all, he has the power of life and death. Do you understand that you're alive today in your thinking and your reasoning because He wills it? Do you realize that by Him all things consist, that He has total control and power? That's an amazing thing to think about. But he says that he did it. He did it by himself. To me, that's amazing. He came down here to earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived among us for 33 and a half years, never once sinned. He went through incredible obstacles in order to get to the cross. All the devils of hell were trying to stop him from doing what he was doing. Well, no, they didn't. They were actually in on it. They wanted him dead. They just didn't realize that him dying was part of the plan. Do you realize that he had to take the sins of the whole world upon himself? He had to take the most disgusting, the most depraved, the most wicked sins you could possibly think of, and he could lay that upon his own holy self. He died with the sins of the world on his shoulders. This work of obtaining the salvation of the soul was so big, so grand, so incredibly complex that it took the very God who created us to come up with the solution. And he did. You see, he gives us freely salvation right now. He just offers it to us freely. That's an amazing thing. But I think too, one of the things that makes this salvation so great is the incredible things that had to happen so that you could even hear the gospel, that you could see the gospel. I caught the tail end of your Sunday school lesson, and you were talking about how much the Bible has influenced society. And you got that right, man.
Amen.
There are people that have, when I was in college, that were trying to bring up other documents and other things. You know, the King James, not the King James, but the Bible and the old Hebrew text, it was all just one of a bunch of documents and important writings and all of that. I'm telling you, there has never been a document like the Bible.
Amen.
That can span. I mean, look at how long between the first words that were written back there in the Old Testament until the times of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ would say, have you never read? That means that those documents, hundreds and thousands of years later, were still in existence. Do you know they're still in existence today? They're still here, making an impact like no other book has ever made an impact in the history of mankind. I had a teacher one time saying how important the work of Homer's Iliad was. Do you know who reads Homer's Iliad? College students that take the literature class that are required to read Homer's Iliad. You know, when I'm depressed, I don't go to Homer's Iliad for comfort. When I need a lift, I don't go to Dante, definitely not Dante's Inferno. I don't go to Oedipus Rex. I don't go to any of these ancient texts. You know where I go? I go to the scriptures right here. Somebody dies and your heart's filled with sorrow and you're trying to figure out things and you're trying to readjust and you're going through the whole process of somebody very, very close to you passing away. You don't go to Homer's Iliad for comfort. You know where you go? Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you understand that God has preserved his word to the present time so that you could know his mind and his heart? And for you to just discount it as just a document like all the other documents, you are wrong. This is the difference. This is the Word of God. It is what God is trying to communicate to you. I'm telling you, this is an amazing. It has survived repeated attempts to discredit it, to distort it, to downplay it, to dilute it, to outright deny it. It has survived all of those attempts and it is still in existence today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, I think he makes a point. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard listed any time we should let them slip. It may be time for you to stop thinking about all the things you're thinking about and put some of that mental energy on the salvation of your soul and what the Word of God has to say about your eternity. It is just that important. We already talked about one of the other points, how it's just a great salvation because of the ease in obtaining it. Now, I just told you that it was very difficult to obtain. It was very complex to obtain. But we're talking about the work that God did to save us. Do you realize He did all the work? Amen. What's He asking of us? You remember the verses, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What, really? It can be that simple? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm kind of like that guy that went and saw the prophet and the general and he was kind of depressed that, you know, that he wasn't asked to do some, you know, that they didn't do some great big show or something like that. And, you know, I'm telling you, God has already done all the work. How in the world can you possibly think that you have got to add to this salvation right here? You know what God has done? He's offered you eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Free of charge. You know what He's asking of you? Is that you surrender to Him. Is that you see Him as your Savior and your Lord. Your pride, I know, won't let you do that. Your pride isn't going to let you surrender to anybody, but you have got to drop your pride. You've got to see that Jesus Christ is in, He's desirous to save you. Do you know that God is interested in saving your soul for eternity today? He's interested in you. Do you know He knows how many hairs are on your head? That's pretty incredible. He knows when one of those hairs gets fallen out and gets drowned in the bathtub. He knows every time. Seriously, nothing goes past God. A skin cell dies, He knows. Don't you think that He knows enough about you to realize you're not good enough to save yourself? Where do we ever get the idea that good people go to hell? Get that idea from the Bible. That good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Because we want to get our own little standards. You know, we want to be in charge of our own salvation. But we're not in charge. God is. And God's already done all the work. And now He freely offers it to you. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
We got some other points to be made here. But I want to make, if you go back there to Hebrews. So up to this point, humanity has done everything possible to discount and to credit and to marginalize God. Right now we have a society, and I don't think I have to go into any great detail. Anybody with eyes to see can understand what's going on in society today. And I'm not just talking about the United States, I'm talking about worldwide. We are immoral by nature. By nature. Do you know in Romans in chapter 1 verse 20-29 or so, it says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The creation has turned its back on the Creator. The one who made them is now being maligned and lied about and ignored. I think the ignoring is probably the worst. I can stand being insulted. I can stand being made fun of. What I don't like is being ignored, just being. You know, that's what people are doing to God every day. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. There have been times when God's tried to get your attention. God has tried to open your eyes. He's tried to get you to see something past your own face. He's tried to get you to see your own soul and its destination. And you just kind of discount it like it's nothing. But I'm telling you what, it is something. It is incredible. This salvation that Jesus Christ offers is so incredible because of the incredible scope of the offer. He's saving you from sins to be with him forever. He's getting rid of the penalty and the power of sin. He's actually solving your sin problem for you because of the blood that he shed on the cross. He's giving you an incredible offer to live with him for eternity. He has done everything possible. Isn't it incredible that all these years later, the message is still going out and you get an opportunity to hear this today?
Amen.
Here's the danger, is that it's human nature to get distracted about other things and forget the things that are important. I tend to do that. You know, I tend to forget those things that are important. And I let important things just slip. Well, if I forget to pay the CPS bill and the power goes off, that's a big deal, but we'll recover. If I forget to make my truck payment and they repossess my truck, then yeah, I'll get another truck, you know. If I forget to take, I don't know. Why are all my examples financial? I don't know. I'm going to stop before I get myself into real trouble. But here's the point. If I neglect temporal things, I'll get temporal consequences. But this is an eternal thing. If I neglect this eternal thing, then I'm going to have eternal consequences. I want you to get the gist of that verse right there. When he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Here's the question that I want you to answer your own heart. If you neglect this salvation that Jesus Christ offers, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How? What's your plan? Well, you know, when I get up to heaven, I'm just going to explain to God. I'm just going to talk to him. No, you see God face to face, you're going to fall at his feet as dead. You're going to have so much fear and so much trembling. You're not even be able to squeak out a sound. I don't know if you understand what it's like. None of us really do. We've never seen God, but we have record of people in the Bible that have seen God and they... There was just such incredible, you're not going to explain anything to God. What you need to do is right here in this life, while you're alive, while you can still think, while you have opportunity, you need to take this opportunity to consider what Jesus Christ is offering you. He's offering you the salvation of your soul free of charge. He pays the bill.
Amen.
He's giving it to you as a gift. But once you die, the offer is rescinded. It's only good in this life.
Amen.
You say, well, you're just trying to use sales tactics to pressure me. I wish I could. If that worked, I'd do it, man. But this is just reality. You have a limited time in order to accept the offer that Jesus Christ offers you. If you neglect it, then there's no escape. That's the conclusion of this verse right here. If you neglect it, there's no escape. This is an offer unlike any other offer that you've ever had. It comes from a God that loves you so much, that cares so much about your soul, that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could have eternal life. Here's the, you want to know what the solution is? Call upon his name.
Amen.
You say, but that's going to be hard. I got to humble my, yeah, you need to humble yourself. You're going to need to drop your pride. You're going to need to drop your arrogance. You're going to need to drop all your preconceived ideas. You're going to need to drop all of your ideas of what you think a Christian is all about. You've got to take God on his terms. You're in the losing seat right now. He's offering to save you. You need to take his terms. Because if you neglect so great a salvation, then the consequences of ignoring it are eternal. and there's no going back. I don't know how I can make it any clearer than that. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus wants you to be saved. Saved is a good word. Saved is God's word. He describes what he does with you. It's a good word. We're going to keep saying it. We're going to keep asking people, are you saved? And I want to ask you that question today. Are you saved?
Amen.
Are you saved? If not, highest priority, get it settled before God. I can't save you, but you can call upon God. You can ask him to save you. If you want to talk about it more, man, we'll be happy. We'll spend all afternoon with you and talk to you about what it means to be saved. But that is the most important question. Do not neglect the issue of the salvation of your soul. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room that's not saved. Lord, that they would understand and they would see. And Lord, they would humble themselves and call upon your name. And Lord, that you fulfill your promise and save them. Lord, do what we can't do. Convince where we can't convince. Lord, move upon the hearts, Lord. You're the Savior. You're the Lord. We look to you. And Lord, we thank you for your great salvation. Thank you so much, Lord, that you gave me the offer of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me and that I'm going to be with you not because I'm good, Lord. I'm going to be with you because you love me and saved me. Lord, we love you for your great salvation. Forgive us for our timidity in preaching it. Forgive us, Lord, for our distraction and getting so involved with the things of this life that we forget about this great salvation. We love you, Lord Jesus. Do with this message as you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody has any questions on what we preach, seriously, this is a serious offer. We're here for you and we want to talk to you. Have a great day.